All right, guys, quick question for you. Who has ever heard of a mid-Acts dispensationalist? I had a discussion with one out soul winning recently, and that's what this sermon is about. It's about mid-Acts dispensationalism, or I guess you could attach the label hyper-dispensationalism. Now, I'm going to give these guys a name just in case they rise up and influence later on down the road. So instead of the mouthful mid-Acts dispensationalists, we're going to call them MADs. Okay, M-A-D. These people are mad. This sermon is going to smash this idea. Absolutely smash, destroy, grind into powder this idea that the church started with Paul mid-Acts. Okay, I hate it. I'm going to get upset. It's disgusting. Take some notes and let me know in the comments if you have dealt with one of these people. Because I don't know about you, if you're like me, this drives me nuts. I just can't stand it. Anyways, I hope this sermon gives you guys some tools, some things to think about, and in hopes to really help somebody that might be getting caught up in mid-Acts dispensationalism. Like I said, what are the odds you run into one out soul winning? But in our area here in Boise, we deal with a lot of people that go to church and go to churches. It's just kind of a thing about our area. It's kind of nice in some ways because people are already familiar with things, and so it's a little bit easier to give them the gospel. Anyways, I hope this sermon blesses you guys, gives you some stuff to think about, and hopefully some tools to add to your arsenal to refute the mads. God bless. All right, amen. So you're in Romans chapter number 15. I'm going to start off with a story. So I know we're in between books right now. We just got done with Ecclesiastes. Next week, we're going to start a book. But tonight, we're going to go over something different. So yesterday, we were out soul winning, and there's this guy kind of pacing, doing the old video game walk back and forth. The bad guy calling is what I like to call it. And he's just waiting for us to come around. And you can just tell by, you know, if you've been soul winning for even 6 months, you start to pick on people's mannerisms. You just kind of know roughly what's going to happen. Okay, so we come around this corner, and this guy's waiting for us. Thanks for J-dubs. Of course, we're not. And he learns the fact that we're Baptists. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And he wants to take one of our cards, and he mentions that he was going to preach us the gospel. He's like, if you guys were Jehovah's Witnesses, I was going to go ahead and preach you the gospel. But let's see what you got here. Okay, he sits down, starts to look at our card. And then he says, oh, yeah, this is great, King James only. Oh, you guys have a structured time to preach the gospel. Give me the gospel. Okay, and the way he said it kind of just made me think like he just wanted a quick synopsis, you know, just by we're saved by grace through faith. So I quoted him John 3:16 just because it's really easy to kind of springboard off of each section in John 3:16, the gospel. You can talk about Christ, how he died for all the sins of the world. You know, you can just really get into it very quickly off of one verse. And he's like, whoa, 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 you know, what's going on here? John 3:16, what do you think about Romans chapter 15, verse number 8? Okay, and now I'm like, what in the world is going on here? What is this going to turn into? You know, and like I told you guys this morning, I wasn't having it yesterday. I just was not in the mood for it. So I was like, I don't know. I don't have every Bible verse memorized, okay? So what are you talking about? So we turn to Romans 15, verse 8, and we'll get into it here in a second. But basically, this guy's trying to insinuate that you can't use Bible verses that Jesus is quoted of saying in the Gospels. Like, you can't use John 3:16. You can't use John chapter 10. You can't use anything that Jesus said to get somebody saved. That's literally what this guy's saying. And so we start talking, and I'm just like, I've heard this before somewhere. And I start to realize, okay, he's a dispensationalist. He's some kind of dispensationalist. Now, not just any kind of dispensationalist, okay? But what we would probably call a hyper-dispensationalist. And what he's saying, I'm like, this sounds so familiar. I'm like, I just can't put my finger on it. So anyways, I just turn around and walk away. I get mad, you know. It is what it is. We just leave, okay? And I'm thinking about this later. And I realized that I've been getting recommended these videos for like the last month. Like I type in my YouTube, change brakes Chevy 2012. Okay, guess what gets recommended? Like one video and then like eight, graceambassadors.com, graceambassadors.com. And finally, you know, one day, this is about 3 weeks ago, I sat down, all right, let me just click on one of these. Maybe they'll go away. Maybe the algorithm will change and the devil will leave me alone after I just watch one of these. So I'm watching this video and I'm like, okay, well, they're using the King James Bible, Grace Ambassadors. You know, they kind of sound like they're Baptist. I mean, hey, the guy is preaching a sermon about Jonah. I'm like, I just went through Jonah not too long ago. I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe I can find out what they believe. And then before I even decided to go follow up on what they believe about salvation, the guy's like, everybody knows that Jonah died inside of the whale. And when the whale spit him up on the shores, you know, God gave him his life back and he was resurrected that way. I'm like, okay, it's something like that. So I just, you know, blow it off. But as I'm thinking about this encounter that we had with this guy yesterday, I realized something. Wait a second. There's a facial expression that he gave me when we asked him if he goes to church. He's like, well, not exactly. Okay. People typically say that when they have something that's substituting church. And my first thought was it's probably some online ministry. And I believe in my heart 100% that what it is, it's what's called mid-Acts dispensationalism. Or the longer term, which is mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism. You know me, I like to simplify things. We're going to call them MADs because they are mad, okay? Not just angry, but they are mad in the mind to even believe this stuff. So you're going to hear me refer to them as MADs this evening. Mid-Acts dispensationalism. On your own time, maybe you'll find this interesting. GraceAmbassadors.com. Look it up on YouTube. Look it up on their website. And it'll give you a breakdown. We're going to go through a decent amount of it today. I think it's important for us to understand this, okay? And the reason why I think it's important for us to understand this is not just because I met somebody yesterday that believes this stuff. This stuff has been around for quite a while and different factions. But I believe it's just another movement that's probably going to grow. And I want to get the monopoly on that term, MADs, right now. Or are you a MAD? Okay, we want to label them that. And they might look at this and say, well, that's pretty arrogant. That's pretty, you know, un-Christian-like. Well, I think it's pretty un-Christian-like to devalue the words of Jesus Christ and to say that you can't use the words of Christ to get people saved. Keep your place right here in Romans 15. We'll come right back to it. Go to John chapter 20 real quick. I know you know this, but go to John chapter number 20. And let's just look at something here real quick. I'm going to smash this stuff very, very, very hard this evening. It's not even going to be debatable by the time we're done, okay? John chapter number 20, and if you look all the way over in verse 30, okay, towards the end of the Gospel of John, look what it says. It says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book." Verse 31. "But these are written." So there's a purpose for what is written and preserved for us today. Let's look at what that is, okay? "But these are written that ye might," what does that say? "Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye," that's everyone, anybody, okay, "might have life through his name." Not through his name and commandments, not through his name and animal sacrifices, not through his name and anything else, but through his name. Now go back, if you would, to Romans chapter number 15. Now let me just say a few things about dispensationalism in general, okay? If somebody identifies as a dispensationalist, I don't automatically say you're a devil, reprobate, not saved. Okay? In fact, I've had a lot of good experiences with dispensationalists. Okay? I learned how to give the gospel from a dispensationalist. Okay? My mom got saved out of my Bible because of a dispensationalist preacher. Okay? But this dispensationalist preacher did not believe that people got saved one way in the Old Testament, one way in the New Testament, and then another way in the millennium, and then so on and so forth. Okay, he understood a lot. In fact, if you were to look at his ministry, he's no longer alive today, but if you were to look at his ministry, you would think, man, this might even be a new IFB church. Like, he was that close. Okay, very smart, very wise individual. This guy is the only guy that I've ever met in my life that was able to get a very high-level Catholic person to leave the church. It was an archdiocese over in New Orleans. This guy had a radio program, okay, this archdiocese, whatever, and hopefully I'm saying that right. But a guy that's pretty up there, you know, degrees, lived in
celibacy, so to speak, you know, the whole priesthood, all that garbage that the Catholic Church teaches. This guy had a radio program, gone through all of that, okay? And my pastor was able to basically destroy him with the gospel and was able to actually take down with tact what he believed and actually get him saved. Now, it took a little while because my pastor did a radio show against his radio show. The guy called my pastor. My pastor spoke to him on the phone and basically put him in a catch-22. And he was just like, I got to think about this. Guy comes strolling into church like 2 weeks later. This is back in the late 80s. Okay, comes strolling into church and he's like, well, I guess you were right. He's like, I got saved. I'm born again. I left the church, left my job. He's like, I don't know what I'm going to do exactly. He's like, I got a degree, so now I'm going to be at ground zero in the workforce. So thanks a lot for that. But however, at least I'm saved. And actually became a member of that church. Okay, I mean, that's an extraordinary story. And this is a guy who identifies as a dispensationalist. I've got another dispensationalist acquaintance in Washington. This guy's a prison ministry. Okay, and he looked at our website. He looked at our YouTube channel. And he says, hey, you're definitely... definitely not afraid to say stuff, man. He's like, but I agree with your gospel and the gospel of your friends. I have the same one. He's like, my theology is dispensational. I am different than you, obviously, on the Jews and on prophecy. He's like, however, I believe the gospel just like you. And he's actively, even right now, trying to get people that are in prison that are going to move back to Boise to come to our church, you know? So I'm not talking about those people. What I'm talking about tonight are these mid-Acts dispensationalists, which teach in a nutshell this. The church didn't start with Jesus Christ. It started with Paul. Paul started the church, and therefore, because we are Gentiles and not of the race of the Jews, which if you've gotten here longer than 6 months, you know that's not true, okay? But because we're not of the race of the Jews, that Paul is our authority, and then we have to use what Paul said. So in other words, the Gospel of John, Mark, Matthew, Luke, that stuff's okay. It's good for you to know because that's history. And there's some things in there, they say, that have dual application for the church, okay? But what these people teach, these mads, what they teach is that there's Israel, right? There's, oh, glorious Israel, the God's chosen people, the Jews whose boots you will lick for eternity. There's that group of people, okay? And then there's the church over here right now, and that's just kind of where we're at, okay? But the main thing that they teach is that Jesus did not start the church as we know it today. It was the Apostle Paul. So we get our authority, we get anything we do only from the things that Paul wrote. You don't go to James. You don't go to 1 Peter. And you better be very careful going to Revelation because most of that's for the Jews because it's coming back full circle. And you will serve that Jew in eternity. Okay, that is what they teach. That is what they believe. They're going to scream and holler, we're not like that. You might as well be. And by the time I'm done today, yeah, you might as well be. Now, let's just start this off here real quick. Romans 15, look at verse number 8. This is where homeboy yesterday, Mr. Mad, okay, this is where this Mad tried to take us. And he's like, what about Romans 15, 8? I'm just really distraught that you decided to use John 3:16 to give the gospel. I don't understand. Okay, you don't understand because you're not saved. You don't understand because you're dumb. You're stupid. That's what you are. Okay, that's what you are. But let's look at it. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Okay, and he said that and read that, and then we kind of went back and forth on some things. But what they say this verse means is that Jesus, okay, his ministry was to the Jew and not to you. Okay, let me say that again. Jesus' ministry was to the Jew. It was not to you because you are not of the master race. Okay, you are not of the Jewish supremacy race that's out there. Okay, Jesus came to the circumcision. And I brought up the fact, look, if you've even studied chronologically the Bible like you should before you ever engage in a conversation like this, you're going to realize that Jesus got a bunch of people in Samaria saved. And Samaria are not of the Jews. Okay, he got a bunch of people in Samaria saved before he even went and sent his apostles on that special mission trip, which you read about in Matthew chapter 10, where he sends them out two by two and says, now go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Okay? That's what nobody wants to talk about. It's like, no, he didn't do that. Yes, he did. John chapter 4 chronologically comes before Jesus even picks all the disciples. Okay, this is why we say, look, you have got to read and read and read. And after you've read and read and read and you're in the double digits, then my opinion is that basically now you're qualified to begin your study. Okay, that's when it begins. But that's what he's saying that this verse means. And it's very clear that it's not. Just look at the next verse. Yes, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy as it is written. You see that phrase there? As it is written. That means that what he's talking about was written in the Old Testament. As it is written, look at this. For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. Verse 10. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Okay, this was, you're going to find this written in Deuteronomy. I forgot the exact location, okay? But he's quoting from Deuteronomy. You have to go look it up later. So who are his people? Who were God's people in Deuteronomy? It was the Hebrews. Okay, it was the Hebrew people in that time. But what is this verse saying? And again, he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles, okay, with his people. That means there is no supergroup Israel over here and the church over here, but down here. Okay, in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. And even Ruckman taught that. Okay, so this madness, this mid-Acts Pauline hyper-dispensationalism is really trash, okay? To the highest degree, I cannot stress that enough. In fact, let me show you really what it is. Go to Proverbs chapter number 6. Keep your place there in Romans because we're going to kind of come back to that neighborhood, but go to Romans chapter number 6. So in Proverbs chapter number 6, and we're gonna read a word twice in two different verses, and that word is discord. Now, one of the cries of the Mads is that they rightly divide the word of truth because they believe in proper dispensations. And I'm going to get a little deeper into what they mean by that here in just a moment, okay? But it's just all over their site, okay? Rightly dividing. We rightly divide. Okay, pretty much if you listen to a lot of different dispensationalists, hyper ones like Gene Kim, Robert Breaker, these types, you're going to hear that. Well, we rightly divide. We rightly divide. We rightly divide, okay? They're kind of sort of right. They do a division. Okay, but there's a better word for that division, and that word is discord. Okay, look at verse 14. Look at what Solomon says here. It says, frowardness is in the heart, or I'm sorry, in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Okay, you see that there? He soweth discord. How does God feel about this? How does God feel about discord? Well, look at verse 16 real quick. So he says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to him. And of course, he gets into a proud look, lying tongue, all these things. Now look at verse 19 for what I want to focus on. A false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Okay? So the Mads think that they're sowing right division, but what they're actually doing is sowing wrongly discord. That's what they're actually doing. Okay? They're not rightly dividing. They're wrongly sowing discord. You say, prove it. Look at the end of that verse there. Okay, discord among brethren. They're pitting Jesus against Paul, Peter against Paul. They're sowing discord, okay, by using the word of God. That's what they're doing. They're not dividing. They're discording, okay? Now, go to, I'm going to have you go to Acts chapter number 3. Acts chapter number 3. And so we're going to begin this study here. Okay, you go to these guys' website, you go to their YouTube channels, and, you know, most of these hyper-dispensational guys, okay, and they're going to say, all right, well, we've got it figured out. We understand proper baptism, we understand proper tithing, we understand proper doctrine, because we can rightly divide two things that most people can't rightly divide, okay? And they say, we can understand the difference between the word of prophecy, which was since the world began up until Paul came on the scene, and we understand the mystery that was revealed to Paul, okay? And so they have these two things, okay? On this side, prophecy, and this prophecy or this message was a message of salvation which started at the beginning of the world up until Paul. And then over here, they've got the mystery. And hopefully in your mind, you've heard me talk about the mystery before and you know where I'm going to go with this, okay? So let's look at this here. They quote Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 21, which reads this. You're in Acts 3, look at verse 19. So they say that this is a different message than Paul. Okay, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Okay, they're saying, see, that is to the Jew, not to you. Verse 21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Okay, so they see right there, the Jew, he's got to do what? And they'll say he's got to repent, meaning he's got to turn from his sins so his sins can be blotted out. Does that make any sense to anybody? You need to stop sinning so that God can wipe away all your sins. So are you saying I need to stop sinning so that my past sins I've already done and it's too late can get wiped off the map and then I got to make sure I don't sin anymore, otherwise I'm going to lose my salvation and go to hell? Well, it's not quite like that. You know, just be thankful you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. Although I'll bet you wish it'd be better if you were a Jew. Okay. I don't know. It's madness. When you start to think about this stuff, it's mad. It is madness. It is confusion to one of the highest degrees that I have ever seen in my life. Okay, repent ye therefore. Say, so you got to turn from your sins. Okay, again, most people don't understand sense. Most words have a sense. You can use words in different sense. Okay, so, I mean, if that's not enough, go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21 real quick. I just want to show you guys this, a little bit of a review. Okay, Matthew chapter number 21. So what does it mean to repent? Okay, let's look at an example of that. What does it mean to repent? Does it mean you got to turn from your sins? What's going on here? What is he talking about? Peter's preaching a different gospel. It's clear in Acts chapter 3. Different gospel. Okay? We'll see what old Matthew's got to say here. Look down at verse 32. So this is what Jesus is speaking here. Hey, Matthew recording this. It says, verse 32. So obviously he's disputing with these publicans. Okay? The Lord's disputing with these people. And he says, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness. Okay, so I don't have time to break down what righteousness is, but the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Jesus said, hey, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no likewise enter into the kingdom of heaven. So how do we get righteousness? Oh, that's right. Romans chapter 4, it gets imputed into us. It gets put on us because that's what he can do. And so Jesus here, who apparently we're not supposed to listen to, what is he saying? For John. Who's John? John the Baptist. So that means when John the Baptist came on the scene, his message was about righteousness, okay? Which is a gift from God, even though Christ hadn't died yet. It says, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And when ye had seen it, now look at this. Here's your definition. Repented not afterward. Okay? Repented not afterward. So what would have happened if they would have repented after hearing the message of righteousness? That ye might believe him. Okay? So he's saying, hey, ye publicans, instead of hearing the word of God and saying, I believe that, I'm going to turn from trusting in my works to trusting in Christ. Okay, he's saying they didn't do that. They didn't repent. They didn't change their mind. They didn't turn and believe on God. Okay, that's what this is saying here. Repented not afterward that ye might believe him. It's always been the same way. Okay, you go back to Genesis chapter number 4. Then did men begin to call upon the name of the Lord. And so then we get our different families of the earth. You have the sons of man, which are people that are just not saved, or the sons of Adam, you could say. We have the sons of God, and then we have the sons of Belial, or the sons of Satan, the sons of the devil. Okay, those are basically your three groups on earth. And in this verse here, it is very clear that John came preaching the same way. Salvation has always been a free gift. Now, of course, you weren't going to go back to Genesis chapter 4. You weren't going to go to Genesis chapter 6 and go walking around and say, hey, you know, Do you believe on, have you believed on Jesus Christ? They'd be like, who's that? What are you talking about? Who's this person? We've never heard of him, okay? But they knew the God of heaven and earth, which is Jesus Christ, okay? And so that's who they called upon for salvation. That message was the same all the way up until here. Still the same, okay? John the Baptist comes on the scene, and his job, his mission is to make the way straight. Why? Because the publicans, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious establishment of what was left of Israel had become so corrupt, they didn't know how to give the gospel by and large, okay? And so John comes on the scene and saying, hey, you're going to believe on the one who comes after me. Still the same process. No works, no sacrifice. It's all by believing. Repenting in the Bible means to change your mind. We go over this all the time. But yet, these types of people here, these mads, they don't know that. They're just, you know, they're good. Like, oh, you know, they could sometimes speak right on baptism. So, you know, every time you see the word baptism in the Bible, it doesn't always mean water. Okay, great, I understand that. But why don't you apply that same logic to other words in the Bible, like repent? You know why? Because then it smashes their theology, okay? They like Peter having a different gospel. They like having some super secret knowledge that no one else has. And we got, oh, you know, only us, you know, we got this, okay? They are wrong. So they say salvation was basically turning from sins, keeping the commandments, and then, of course, after Christ died, you had the Jews that were left here had to believe on Christ, okay? And then if they kept that combination, works and Christ, they were saved. Okay, I know this is hard to believe, but it's just madness at the end of the day. Now go to Romans chapter 16 real quick. Romans chapter 16. So they say, so we understand that difference there. Okay, but here's where we come in. Okay, we understand the prophecy, which basically Peter demonstrates in Acts 3. And we understand the mystery. And then we're part of the mystery. The Jews part of the prophecy. That's what they say. Okay, and they quote Romans 16 verse 25, which says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. So you see, Paul said my gospel. Okay, so Paul had a different gospel than Peter. Paul had a different gospel than the other apostles because he was the apostle to the Gentiles. Now to him that is of power establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It's like, see, this was secret till the world began. And so because it was a secret, and Paul says that his gospel is the mystery revealed. Therefore, okay, if you're a Gentile and he's an apostle of the Gentiles, he's your apostle. And therefore, you only listen to Paul. So if you're going to, this is what this guy said. I said, okay, well, you tell me how somebody's going to get saved then. How would you give the gospel? He's like, I'd probably go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Great. Good job. Probably. I might. What do you mean I might? I'd probably. Oh, I get it. You don't give anybody the gospel. You're not a soul winner. That's okay. Crystal clear. I got it. Okay. So again, what is a mad? Okay. They believe that Jesus did not start the church. They believe Paul started the church. They believe that the message on this side where Jesus came to fulfill was basically Romans 15:8, that he was just here to preach. His ministry was to the Jews only, and they got saved by a combination of faith and works. Okay, and I'm going to cite some stuff for you. But we get a little bit of a better deal as far as salvation because we're not as super spiritual as a Jew. We can't really turn from our sins. Okay, so we got to get this dumbed down version gospel here, and God had to really make it super easy for us just in this dispensation. Okay, and then they quote Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 3 real quick. So if you're ever looking for something for the mystery, let's pull it out here real quick. Ephesians 3, verse 3. Look what Paul says. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. And so the dispo is going to say, oh, see, so the mad guy, he's going to say, see, Jesus revealed the mystery to Paul for the Gentiles. Okay? Paul for the Gentiles. Look at verse 4. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Let's say this is different from the prophecy in the way that the Jew gets saved. Okay? Verse 5. Which in other ages, see, ages, dispensations, you guys see that? Okay? Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed
unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Okay? And this is pretty much where they stop. And I don't blame them. Because look at verse 6. I don't see how you can be saved and read this and not get this. I don't even see how you can be lost and not get this. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. Fellow. Co. Co-joined. That's what that word means. Fellow. With. Fellow heirs. So who are we in fellowship with? Okay? Well, let's keep reading. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. Wait a second. I thought Jesus had one body over here and Paul started the other body with the authority and blessing of Christ. Well, that's not sounding like that's the deal. Fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Okay? Yes, that is a mystery that they did not understand in the Old Testament. That does not mean that there is one group over here that Jesus ministered to and they've got a different purpose and a different deal than the church. Okay? Look at verse 10 real quick. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. Meaning the church is the source of what he's about to say. By the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So this mystery, okay, go look at verse 9 real quick. I should have started there. Look at verse 9. It says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Okay, all men, not just all Gentiles, all men everywhere. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. And we bring this up all the time, probably because of stuff like this. Okay? God uses his body. Jesus uses the body of Christ. And obviously we have his word. We have the Holy Spirit. If we're studying his word, we're getting wiser. Okay, you're not going to be able to avoid that. Okay, and that process, okay, the Lord uses us to display his manifold wisdom to the world, to the principalities and the powers that be on the other side as well. I've done a whole sermon on that. I don't have time to get into that too much, but just so that we know here, you guys know and understand, okay, that this mystery is not that Paul started the church and it's made up of just Gentiles. This mystery is the fact that we're fellow heirs, okay, with everybody who's ever been saved throughout history. We're fellow heirs in one body. And those of us who remain alive now in our time frame are being used by Christ to teach and demonstrate wisdom. Is that not what we do every week when we go knock on people's doors and try to get them saved? Are we trying to impart unto them truth and wisdom? Of course we are. That's what we're doing. All right. Let me get this whiteboard here because I just want to kind of break down how they say that Peter, because Peter was on the side of Christ. He was on Jesus' team, so to speak. He was a Jew. Paul was a Jew too, which is kind of weird. Okay, let's talk about this. So the Mads, these mad fellows here, okay? They say, and there's a lot to this. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. I just want you guys to kind of get a feel for this just in case you get caught off guard like I did. Okay, differences between Peter and Paul's message. Okay, so we've got over here, we've got Paul. We've got over here, Peter. We've got six categories. And basically what the Mads say is that Peter and Paul were different on all of these things. They were different on Israel and prophecy, apostolic responsibility, justification. We just talked about that last week. The church. We've been talking about that all day. God's representation, and of course, destiny. Okay, you know, when I talk about how there's a group of people out there that say you're going to be licking boots in eternity, that's what I get from this. Okay, but that's my interpretation. All right, so they say right here, okay, Israel and prophecy, Peter taught. We're going to start with Peter. Okay, they say Peter taught that Israel is still standing and prophecy is being fulfilled. And they cite Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 3, and Acts chapter 24. So to say, so Peter's message is basically only for Israel while Israel was still standing. Okay. Paul went off to the Gentiles because he knew that in 70 AD, Titus, the emperor, the Roman emperor was going to come in and basically scatter the Jews. And so there was no more need for Peter's ministry. And that's basically what they're trying to get out there. They say Paul, okay, he was different than Peter because he taught as Israel fell and the prophecies are postponed. Okay, they say that the prophecies are postponed.
What does that mean? So they're saying that Paul, in this dispensation, so we're in this pause because the Jews rejected Christ, so God's mad at them, and he's like, okay, well, I'm going to come back for you later and make sure you guys all get saved. And in this pause break here, like a video game, you press start, you know, you hit pause button, okay? In the pause, Gentiles are allowed to believe the gospel, and because we don't have the Jewish super blood, we can't turn from our sins like they apparently can, according to these people. So God just made it to where we have salvation, salvation sent to the Gentiles through Paul, the apostle, and they cite Romans 11, Colossians 1, 2 Timothy 1, 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, okay? So that is what they mean by Israel and prophecy, that Israel, because of their disobedience, they're on pause, but they're working back. They're working on the sacrifices. They're getting ready to build the temple and to get the red heifer and all that crap, okay? They're coming back. They're coming back, so the horn's about to blow. You guys starting to see where I'm going with this? Okay, so Paul is not interested in any of this. That's what they say. Okay, Paul is only for us silly Gentiles. Peter's responsibility was for this. And of course, he may come back. He might be one of the two witnesses because, of course, when the Jew comes back into the land, and you know, they're going to need Peter again because he's the apostle of the Jews. That's what they say. Okay, now let's talk about apostolic responsibility. Okay, so Peter and I guess his apostles, they preach this. Salvation is of the Jews led by the 12 apostles. That's what it says. Okay? Salvation is of the Jews led by the 12 apostles. And this guy that we were talking to yesterday, he kept trying to bring this up. Okay? Well, the Jews, you know, and the Jews had the oracles of God. I've taught you guys this before. Okay? Of course, Israel was designed to be the beacon of light to the whole world. Go read 1 Kings chapter number 8. What was Solomon's prayer? His prayer is that in building that temple, it would draw outsiders in, that it would communicate to the world that there's only one true God and that they would believe and get saved. Okay, go read it on your own time. But they don't read that because they're mad. Okay, they don't understand that. So Peter preaches that salvation is of the Jews, and basically, that's how you have that. And he'll get into the mechanics here in a second, okay? And, of course, for apostolic responsibility, we already kind of talked about this, that Paul, his job is to get a silly Gentile saved without works. That's it. But they got the same gospel. But you're denying Jesus Christ in the process, okay? This is why I believe these people are not saved. That's my opinion. That's what I think. That's my deal. You might have a different one. That's totally fine, okay? Now, let's talk about justification. Okay, they say this for Peter. Salvation and the law. So Peter taught this. You got to have salvation and the law. Justification by faith in Jesus as Messiah, accompanied by necessary works. So Peter, okay, his role in preaching justification to the Jews, his gospel message was faith in works. And guess who they cite? James. And they also pull 1 John chapter 2, Matthew chapter 19, Hebrews chapter number 10. I will smash all of this. It will make perfect sense in just a minute. Okay. Paul taught salvation apart from the law, justification by faith alone on the cross, and the finished work of Jesus Christ. And of course, they only cite Romans, Ephesians, Titus, and 1 Corinthians. So again, according to the Mads, you can only use the writings that Paul wrote, which Hebrews is questionable because, you know, it's Hebrews, right? Well, because he was a Jew, God allowed him to sneak something in just for old goodness sake, okay? Now, what do these two teach differently about the church? Well, according to them, Peter taught this, separation between the Jew and the Gentile. Israel is God's chosen people. Gentiles are blessed through Israel. This is how Sam Gipp can get up at his church and say that Jesus is not your Messiah because you ain't Jewish. You don't have that superpower, supremacy blood running through your veins. And I'm dead serious. That's what these people say. Okay? Paul, on the other hand, he's a Gentile ambassador, and he represents to the world because it's in rebellion. So because the world's in rebellion, Paul's job is to basically get Gentiles saved. We're supposed to carry on Paul's mission. That's where you get the term Pauline authority. Okay, destiny, last one. Okay. So under Peter, they have promised to receive an earthly inheritance in the kingdom. And of course, they cite 1 Peter chapter 1, Matthew 6, Hebrews 13, Revelation chapter 21. Okay. So again, they're going to get this earthly inheritance, and that can be interpreted many different ways. I don't know if Grace Ambassadors teaches this, but I've heard this from Calvary Chapel types. I've heard this from some people that your destiny is going to be to serve the Jew in the millennium. Your job will be basically to clean up the crumbs under the table. You'll take up after them. You will clean up the residue from their offerings and their sacrifices in the millennium. I've heard that, and I've told you guys that before. Okay. All right. What's the destiny for us Gentiles, the church, according to them? Well, we have the promise of a heavenly position in God's universal dominion, Philippians 3, Ephesians 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. It's all trash. It's madness. Okay. You say, that doesn't make any sense. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. But I just want you to see the madness that these people bring. Mid-Acts dispensationalism. Mid-Acts Pauline dispensationalism. Okay. And so do you guys now see how these people are not sowing right division with the Word of God? They are sowing wrongly discord. They are pitting apostles against each other. They're pitting Jesus against Paul, Peter against Paul. It's wrong. It's not okay. It's actually, in my opinion, it's blasphemy, if I could say that. So let's get on track here. I'm just going to give you four things really quickly that smashes that, and then we're going to go to Acts chapter 15 and just put this all to bed for once and for all. Go to Romans 16 again. Romans chapter number 16. All right, so let's again address this idea that Paul started the church. Okay, Jesus, again, Jesus, Romans 15, 8, very clear. Okay, his ministry was unto the circumcision and them only. Okay, that's why he hired Paul to rescue you non-blood, non-Jewish Gentiles. Let's see if that's true. Let's see if that's true. Romans 16, look at verse number 7. Look what Paul says here. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Well, you mean these other apostles over here? You mean the Peter guys? They take a note of Gentiles? Ooh, take a bath, man. Get some hand sanitizer. Okay, now look at this. Okay, who are of note among the apostles, who also, we got a problem. I think we got a big problem here, man. Who also were in Christ before me. So I want you to remember this. Andronicus, what's that other name? Junia, hopefully I'm pronouncing that right. Probably not. I can't pronounce or spell. That's okay. Andronicus, Junia, who also were in Christ before me. What does that mean? Well, let's take a look. Go to Galatians chapter number 1. Go to Galatians chapter number 1 real quick. So right before Ephesians, right after 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter number 1. So remember, we got these two people. Okay, we got these two people. And Paul says they were in Christ before he was in Christ. Something's not right. I think this is going to get real bad. Look at verse 13. For ye, okay, again, this is Paul. Hey, this is all Paul. You want to play Paul? Let's play Paul. Okay, this is all Paul here. Verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted. Now look at this. The church of God and wasted it. Wait a minute. God had a church before Paul was in Christ. Go to verse 22. Same chapter, verse 22. Look at this. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea. Oh, no. What are we going to do? Which were in Christ. Remember those two people we talked about who Paul said were in Christ before me? Well, what does it mean to be in Christ? Uh-oh. That means we got a big problem here. That means the churches in Judea filled with people that were Jews, that means a church and being in Christ are the same thing. Oh, no. Look at verse 23. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed. Oh man, this is getting really bad. What are we going to do? Go to Colossians chapter 1. Certainly Colossians will straighten it out. Okay, Paul, he's gonna set the record straight. We're separate from Jews. Colossians chapter number 1. I'm being sarcastic. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 18. Again, this is Paul. And he, who's the he there? Who's he? Is that Paul? Wait, Paul's writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Oh, that's Christ. That's right, because I've read this like 100 times. Okay, and he is the head of the body. Uh-oh. What are we talking about? The body. The church. Oh, okay. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence? You mean to tell me that the body of Christ and the church are the same thing? And Andronicus and Junia, who were in Christ, meaning they were in church before Paul? Whoops. Somebody ain't doing their Bible reading. Sounds like that Discord's got the brain scrambled. Sounds like you really are mad. Sounds like you are filled with madness. And it's so blinding you can't see obvious truth. Look at verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. You say, I'm still not convinced. Okay, I got one more for you, and if you don't get it, you're a reprobate. I'm just kidding, okay? This stuff just really pisses me off. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Sounds like if you're in Christ at any time, even before Paul was saved, that you were in the church. Man, what in the world's going on here? Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. I don't have that many bookmarks. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at verse 32. There it is. Okay. Look at this. Give none offense, neither to the Jews. Now I want you to pay attention to three groups mentioned in verse 32. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. This is what I said earlier. You have the sons of Adam. You have the sons of Belial, and you have the sons of God. Okay, so which basically what you have here. Okay, Jews, Gentiles, and the church of God. You don't have Jewish super powerhouse, whatever, nation, church, and then just us over here. That's wrong. It's wrong. If you're in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. Now let's finish this off in Acts chapter number 15. I think this will be absolutely hilarious to most of you. Okay. Acts chapter number 15. This is often referred to as the council in Jerusalem. Not quite sure how the Mads interpret this. Doesn't really matter though. Okay. But they're getting a big F on doctrine today. That is for sure. A big failure. Now, verse number 1, Acts 15. I want you to pay attention to names and really what's going on here. Hey, we're not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to read a decent amount very quickly. Hey, Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Again, first thing that pops in my mind, what about the women? But they don't want to accept that. You know, they just divert and, oh, let's talk about the Jews. Okay, so there's a problem here. Okay, you've got Paul, you've got Barnabas to preaching the gospel, and some people say, hey, we're from your hometown. We're from Jewry. Okay, and guess what? Unless you get circumcised, unless you do that work, you ain't getting saved. So now we got a pretty big problem. Okay, look at verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And rightfully so, you ought to go up there and be like, what's going on here? Something changed? Somebody getting into some serious heresy here? What's going on? Verse 3, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Okay, verse 4, and when they were come up to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Of course, you know, that look, you get saved being a Jew, this stuff is like, it's just deep inside of you. You know, it just takes a while to get out. And so they're having to wrestle with this group now. So remember the main issue here, okay? Paul and Barnabas, they're doing their thing, okay? They're preaching the gospel, and yes, Paul was sent to the Gentiles, okay? But not exclusively. How often do we see him in the synagogue getting people saved? Hey, what about the Bereans? Hey, go study the Bereans. Did he not preach the gospel to the Bereans? And they checked and said, yeah, these things are true that you're saying. What was the result of that? Well, go look up a guy named Sopater, okay, who actually attached himself to Paul later on. And how does that make sense? How does Sopater, the Berean, okay? But anyways, whatever. We got to move on. Look at verse 6. This is the discussion here, okay? And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. So the matter is what these Pharisees which believed are saying, hey, well, you still got to keep the commandments. And then you got these other clowns that came down and said, if you don't get circumcised after the manner of Moses, well, then you're not saved. So now the discussion, okay? Verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Uh-oh, we got another problem. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth. Hold on. Do I have an NIV? Does yours say the same thing? You King James? Anybody got a King? Okay, yeah. This is King James then. So you got to make sure, because sometimes printing presses, they'll print half NIV, you know, half King James. I just got to make sure I'm right here. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe? What the hell's going on? What's going on here? There's some madness going on here. That's what it is. There's some madness going on. You mean to tell me that this guy over here, this guy right here, Uncle Peter, preached to Gentiles? He ain't supposed to be doing that. I'll bet God smoked him for that. I'll bet God spanked him and chastised him for 3 weeks because of this. Let's see if we can find it. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. We know gospel is good news. Gospel, death, burial, resurrection, Acts chapter 2, very clear. And believe. What is going on? Okay, well, let's just keep reading and see if we can figure this out. Verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost. What? God gave them the Holy Ghost even as he did to the Jews? You mean to tell me they got the same gospel, they believed the same way, and got the same experience? I don't know what's going on. I need to go to Treasure Valley Baptist Church. Look at verse 9. And put, oh my goodness. And put no difference. What? I'm going to quit. I quit. And put no difference between us and them. Why the hell am I even preaching this sermon? Somebody stop me. Would you guys just sitting here laughing at me? Let me make a fool of my... Hey, that's not edifying. That's not very good. Purifying their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, I tempt ye, God, to put a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear. Man! People, you guys think about this. People actually fall for this stuff. Okay, I mean, this is King James. Hold on, guys. I know this is unorthodox of me, but I just really need to make sure. This is a King James Bible. It's King James, KJV. Okay. All right, verse 11. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ... we shall be saved even as they? Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Case closed. Done deal. We got Paul. You mean to tell me we got Paul and we got Peter agreeing on the same gospel? And we've got a clear admission from Peter that he preached unto the Gentiles? Wait a second. He's not supposed to be doing that. Verse 13, and after they had held their peace, James... Oh, we got James up in here now. What does this mean? Wait a minute here. James can't be here. He don't agree with this. He's all faith and works, right? Ain't James supposed to be faith and works for the Jew? Ain't that how you rightly divide the word of truth? But we got a problem.
And after they had held their peace, James, this is the same James, by the way, that wrote the book of James. James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Seeming to have declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Okay, this is why when you read, actually, if you wouldn't mind, real quickly, just go to the book of James, right after Hebrews. Keep your place here. We're almost done. Keep your place here, but just real quick, I got to show you this. James chapter 1, right after Hebrews. Look at this. Look at what James says when he starts his letter off. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now go back to Acts chapter 15. Okay, when people try to pull this on you, and it's like, see, James was written to the Jew, and the Jew gets saved by faith and works. It's true. Trust me. I'm rightly dividing the word of truth. Hey, now you know. Wait a second here. But at this council, verse 14, James is agreeing on the same gospel that he preached to the Gentiles, which only Paul was supposed to preach to. Wait a second here. That don't make sense. Look at this, guys. We've got James right here endorsing faith without works. This whole meeting is about no works for faith, ever, at all. All apostles across the board on the same page, okay? And James pipes in. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. That means we're grafted into the 12 tribes of Israel. Yes, that's what that means. That's why James starts his letter off that way. By the way, James ain't even talking about saving faith in chapter 2. Okay, verse 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets as is written. You mean even the prophets revealed this? Even the Old Testament revealed this? 16, after this, I will return and build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. I don't have time to get into this, okay, but this is basically quoting out of the book of Amos. If you want the references, it's chapter 9, verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Verse 18, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now look at the decision here in verse 19. Wherefore, this is James speaking here, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. Okay, so look, James ain't trying to trouble you in chapter 2. He's not trying to trouble you with faith and works. He ain't trying to trouble you with mid-Acts dispensationalism, that the church started mid-Acts under Paul, not Christ. That's buffoonery. Verse 20, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. Now, why give them this admonition? Because these things are very applicable for us. These are things that cause physical damage and harm to our person. He's not saying abstain from these and believe in Christ or you're not saved. This is not a combination of faith and works here. He's saying we do need to still, though, out of law, make sure that people are following this because there's a health reason. There's a mental reason. And we don't have time to really get into it, okay? And then, of course, he goes on, say, for Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day, verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. You see that phrase there, whole church? To send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And of course, then it talks about how they write letters and so on and so forth. We don't have time to go any further. The point is, okay, this meeting was about faith in works because people came down and said, hey, Paul, hey, Barnabas, guess what? We're from hometown, and guess what? Hey, these people need to get circumcised or they ain't getting saved. So they're like, what? They go up to Jerusalem, say, hey, you know, we got all these guys saved. There's the wonderful works. They're like, great, great, but we got to have a discussion. We got to have a discussion. Peter pipes up, hey, I'm preaching the gospel by faith alone to the Gentiles. Paul's there. Obviously, he preaches that. Barnabas there. Obviously, he preaches that. James pipes up and he's like, yeah, what Peter said is true. That's what it is. Okay, but we've got some other recommendations to go along with that. We want to just also teach them, hey, these are some things we need to watch out for. You know, the idolatry, the fornication, obviously things that are, you know, strangled with blood. You don't want to be eating strangled dogs over in Korea, which is a real thing. You know, you want to stay away from that type of stuff. It's going to do damage to you, so on and so forth. So
Again, this stuff is madness. Mid-Acts dispensationalist does not withstand the test of the Word of God. We're called to rightly divide, meaning properly understand the Bible from front to back. The gospel is simple. But you know what? The gospel is not simple when you run around saying, come here, come here, come here. Why'd you use John 3:16? Why'd you use John? Huh? He was just the minister to the Jews. That's blasphemy. That's what I got out of this. Extreme blasphemy. You're putting Jesus Christ from here down here and you're elevating man. You're no different than a Catholic pope. You're no different than a satanic priest. You're no different than a communist, an atheist, or any other ist you want to talk about. You're a devil, and it is what it is. If I could have smote that guy with blindness yesterday like Paul did in the book of Acts, I would have done it. 100% I would have done it. But God knows me, and that I probably wouldn't be responsible with that kind of power. So I've just got what I've got. All right, let's stop right there. This is trash. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the truth and the clarity of your word. And I just thank you, Lord, that we're not just some subhuman sect that you felt sorry for in the meantime while the Jews are on pause, but that we're all equal in you. And we thank you again, Lord, for all that you've done and continue to do for us. I just pray you'd bless our week, Lord. Bring us back again safely this week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, one more song and we'll be out of here.